morning, everyone. Welcome to church. And special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. My name is Yong Lan. I'm one of the members of congregation here at Abbotsford. And helping me in today's service are musicians Adele on keyboard, Rosemary on guitar and singing, and Trevor is joining as well, I believe. And reading us from the Bible will be Irene, and Simon will be helping us to lead in prayer. And Trevor will bring our Bible teaching a bit later, and then we'll invite a little bit later to give us a snippet of what the Bible teaching is going to be. And we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages, backgrounds, and cultures who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to His Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us today. And Christ is the center of all we do here. Okay, so Trevor, would you like to come and just introduce a little bit about what you're going to say?
Thanks, Yong Lan. Yeah, thanks. Today we're continuing the Bible teaching through the Lord's Prayer, and we're thinking about the question, what does it mean to pray when we're praying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so that's today's part.
Thank you, Trevor. Now, this month, a mission focus is with Bush Church Aid Society with Pharisees at Kananara. I practiced this for a little while, but still I don't get it right. And the Ministry of Anglicare, so Anglican Hospital Chaplains. And you know Anthony. Anthony is really well. He is a regular visitor. So today's scripture is Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Please stand and let us sing our first song, We Declare.
Cornerstone, hallelujah, and now we stand.
please take a moment to greet people near you. You can go far away to the back. And the church, church children will stay today with us. Only the old ones, yeah. You may be seated. Let me just pray for our children here. Lord, may you guide our children to grow to love you, follow you closely, and serve you and your church in a mighty way for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our God, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name. He has done. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Please open your pew Bibles to page 1239, or follow along on the screen or in your news and notes. Irene will come and read the Bible for us now.
Hello, everyone. Today's reading is Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Irene. Before Trevor comes to teach us the Bible, let us just pray. Well, Father God, may your words become live to us today, and what you have hidden from our eyes may be revealed. And we just pray that you are with Trevor now as he gives us the teaching. Amen.
Thanks, young land. It's been one of those little weekends for me, so very, well, Rosemary would say differently. It's very rarely that Trevor gets a bit flustered, but Trevor's a bit flustered today. but thank you, young land, for praying for me today. This morning we continue our Bible teaching through the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 in the Gospels. Someone once described what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer as like pegs on which we can hang all our prayers, all our other prayers. Everything we will ever ask of God and how we ask of them from God belongs under one or more of its requests that we find in the Lord's Prayer. So far we've heard that there is purpose in the Lord's Prayer. It begins with a reminder of our relationship with God. It starts off as, how does it start off? It starts off as our Father. Yeah, our Father. It begins by reminding us of our relationship with God. We can know God not as some distant ideal creator of the universe uninterested in his creation, but we can know him as our own loving Heavenly Father. Not like our earthly fathers, good or bad as they were to us, but as children of a perfectly good Heavenly Father. And that our Heavenly Father is not just my personal, unique Heavenly Father, but our Lord Jesus reminds us that he is our Heavenly Father. And that our Heavenly Father is deeply, deeply interested in each one of us personally, but corporately as well as his people, his children. It's a relationship that he's brought us into with himself through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a corporate one. As the saying goes, we can pick our friends, we are all together as a family. One we share equally with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. And with this, it brings a reminder of our responsibility to be mindful of each other, not only in our prayer, but in all things, and of our unity and oneness in Christ as one body and one family of God. Whoever receives him, whoever believes in his name, John writes in the Gospel, John 1 verse 12, is rightly called a child of God, and that is what we are, his children. And so as God's children, the place for us to begin is not with ourselves and with our own needs, but how does the Lord's Prayer start that Jesus teaches us? With respect and honour of our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name. What a rebuke to us, isn't it? So often we come to the Lord and with our little shopping list, and our little requirement, this, God, do this, do that, you know, and then we get around, oh, yeah, God, thank you for today. Thank you for all your things. But he teaches us to begin by respecting and honouring our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name. When he teaches us to pray, he teaches us to begin with God and with his glory. God's name is to be hallowed. God's name is to be honored, God is to be respected, and God is to be feared. For his name and who he is and how we should truly relate to him is as one who is holy. How will God's name be hallowed? Well, where his kingdom comes, where his kingly rule rules. And whenever the gospel is preached and people are invited to gather and to hear, and we heard last week when Cameron was here, until ultimately at that great banquet feast of the Son, when people respond in repentance and faith, they gathered in and they hear the gospel and they respond with repentance and faith and love and obedience and become clothed in the righteousness, the wedding garments of Christ's righteousness, not our own. And God brings all his children in and under his good rule, governance, and glory, now and when Christ comes again. How will God's name be hallowed? How will his kingdom come? It will be hallowed, and it will come when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is where we come to today in our third of the requests of God in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 16. But what exactly is God's will? How is it done? And what are we praying for when we actually pray, your will, Father, be done here on earth as it is in heaven? Do we understand the depth of actually what we're actually praying when we say those words to our Father? Well, firstly, what is the will of God? It's good for us just to go back over that and be clear about what the will of God is. What is it meant by when we say the word of God's will? It's sometimes it's something that confuses us, doesn't it, at times? It's something that can cause great angst in the Christian life. What is God's will? How can I know what God wants me to do or what God's will is? God's will is more than God's willingness to do something, as we would use its meaning. Will you do this? You know, I will do this. You know, God's will is more than a willingness to do something. God's will, as Hermik Babinick, a Reformed theologian of the late 19th century, 20th century, he described it in these words, and I was doing my preparing, and he sums them up really, really well. God's will is that which is identical with God's very being, his goodness, and with his attributes. And it's for this reason that man's heart and mind can rest in that will. For it is the will not of blind fate, incalculable fortune, or dark energy of nature, but of an omnipotent and merciful Father who is in all matters perfectly good. God's will can be described three ways: his secret will, his discerning will, and his revealed will. What's his secret will? Well, in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, we read, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law." Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Notice the important distinction there in that little verse that's there. It's made here between what is secret and what is revealed. What is revealed actually can belong to us. It's given to us, and we're expected to know it and to do it. But what is secret belongs to God, and God does, and we cannot know it. We read in Ephesians 1, verse 11, "The purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." If we think about that for a moment, everything that happens, everything that happens in the world is woven into the purpose of God. And nothing happens outside of his will. It doesn't mean that he endorses it or it's in the process of unfolding his purposes for his glory and us. We have to work with that will. God is sovereign, and that means his plans will always prevail. We read in Isaiah 46, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known to the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 46, verses 8 to 11. Brothers and sisters, we see this supremely at the cross, don't we? We see the will of God in this. Evil is allowed to stir up the events that lead to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. But through it, God accomplishes his plan to redeem and save the world. What the world believes is God's greatest failure, the death of his Son, God achieved his greatest victory, the forgiveness of your sin and mine and all his people. This ought to be a wonderful comfort to us and all who believe. Nothing in our life is outside of God's purpose or beyond his influence and control. Now, exactly how the events of our lives are woven into our Heavenly Father's plan, we cannot tell, because these things are, as the scriptures reminded us, are secret. And the secret things belong to the Lord. They are a mystery to us. And so we often find ourselves asking the question, Lord, why? Why did you allow this in my life, Lord? What good can possibly come from this? I've got a long list this morning, right? These are questions about God's secret will, and the secret things belong to the Lord. So how should we respond to God's secret will? We must trust God in what he has kept secret. We walk by faith. We trust in a God who is perfectly good. If he's being perfectly good, he will always have our best interests at heart and for his glory. It's good just to ponder on that. God is perfectly good. If we believe that, it will be in his actions, and we will believe it by the way in which we live in the light of that. God has good intended all the time. We must trust God in what he has kept secret. We walk by faith, not by sight, until the day when we are in his presence in heaven. And strangely, what we cannot say now, we can say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Your will has been done. What was kept secret then will be revealed, and what was a mystery to us now we will see with new eyes in God's presence and with his explanation. So here's how we pray when we're staring into a mystery that we do not understand in the light of the Lord's Prayer. When we cannot see what God is doing, when it comes to the secret things of God and the secret will of God, we pray, Lord, strengthen my faith in you, and may your will be done. What is God's discerning will? We read in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There is a will of God that can be discerned. This is neither secret nor revealed, but somewhere in between. It is discerned. All of us make life-changing decisions, and we wrestle with life-changing questions. Young people here in church today will most probably be thinking, what do I do after school, when I leave, after the HSC and all those things? Yay, there'll be lots of things. But what do I do? What job do I take? You know, what career will I advise? And we who are coming to the end of our working lives, after retirement, what do we do? Where should I live? What should I who? And those of us who are single, you know, should I marry or not marry? And if I am led to be married, who do I marry? What work should I pursue? What careers or trades should I take? What money should I spend? What should I save and what should I give? What church should I join? What responsibility should I take on my shoulders? What relationships should I have? Every time we come to a fork in the road of our lives and we find ourselves asking, what does God want me to do? What is God's will? But we can't find a verse in the Bible with our name on it, Trevor, this is what you are to do, that tells us an answer to these questions, we remind ourselves it's not revealed. It may be secret, but is it discernible? Is it discernible? We read in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. That means that we are not alone in the decisions that shape the direction and guidance of our lives. Our shepherd walks beside us and he will lead us. He has promised to guide us. How? How will he lead us? How does he guide us? When making decisions that require discernment, we seek the path of wisdom. And we discern wisdom by testing. How do we test? Romans 12, remember, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12, verse 2. Testing involves our experience, the wisdom of others who are believers, the fruitfulness and effectiveness of things we attempt, open doors of opportunity that come our way and doors that are closed, etc. So here's how we pray when we're faced with a major decision and we just don't know which way to go. We talk it out with others. We seek advice. We pray, Lord, give me discernment. Cause me to be wise, and may your will be done. Well, what is God's revealed will? Remember Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God's revealed will is what is found in the Bible. The revealed will of God for us today, for example, includes the great commandment. It's God's will that we love the Lord with all our hearts, and with all our minds, and with all our strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves, Mark 12. The will of God for us today is also revealed in the Great Commission at the end of Jesus' ministry here, where he said, it's God's will that we go and we make disciples of all nations, that we be involved in telling people about Jesus and not keeping him secret. The will of God for us today includes the Ten Commandments. God's will is that we should honor our father and mother. God's will is that we should not commit adultery. God's will is that we should not steal. God's will is that we should be content with what we have. God's will is that we should tell the truth. God's will is that we should have no other gods before him. There is a helpful example of God's will in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's one of my favorite little verses that I constantly remind myself with. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here is God's will for us this week. Let's remind it in that verse. Despite the difficult circumstances, that we will rejoice in all that is ours in him this week or this day. That we will not give up on praying. That we will always be thankful for every mercy of God that comes our way. That we will look for them and we will give him thanks. That God's revealed will for us and we will pursue it. For we know that our God is good and has our best interests at heart. We will be careful to not repay evil for evil with regards to anyone, but to do good towards others, to speak good of others and every opportunity that we have. This is God's will for us, and it is absolutely clear. Now, of course, God's revealed will is not limited to verses that use the words God's will. All that God has taught us in the Bible is His will for us. What's plainly written in the Scriptures. If we choose to live life God's way and call ourselves His children and Him our Heavenly Father, we will live according to His word, the Bible. And we will struggle with those things that tell us instinctively that we should and could live other ways. But we will do what God says. We will do His will. God's revealed will should always be our first concern if we are sincerely His children and are sincerely hallowing His name and seeking for His kingdom to come. This should come as an enormous relief to us. If we have been worried that we might have missed God's will because of a bad decision in our life, when we meet the Lord, God is not going to say to you and me, He's not going to say, "Oh, you went to live in Queensland. That was a bit of a silly thing to do, you know. Oh, you stayed in New South Wales. That was a pretty stupid thing to do." No, God has not revealed whether you should live in Queensland or New South Wales. It does not matter. What matters and what God expects us is that whether we live in Queensland or New South Wales, that we've lived according to His will revealed in the Bible. Whether we've lived in Queensland or New South Wales or wherever it may be is irrelevant. Did you pursue the great commandment and the great commission? Did you pursue a life that pleased God? They're the things will be expected of us. So when we find ourselves saying, "I just need to find God's will," let's remind ourselves that God's will is that we should live as He has described plainly and clearly in the Bible. And for the rest, it's not clear and not specific, we make the wisest and most discerning decisions we can in consultation with others and in prayer for wisdom. So how should we respond to God's revealed will? We are to walk in obedience. We respond to His secret will with faith, doing what He has made known, trusting in God who is perfectly good and will always have our best interests at heart and His glory. We respond to His discerned will in seeking the path of wisdom by testing. And we pursue His revealed will by obedience. The word is passing away along with His desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2 verse 17. It's important to distinguish the three aspects here of God's will when we're trying to work out what God's will is, because we're called to respond to each of them in a distinct and different way. God's secret will, we cannot know. And we can wrestle and we can try and work it out, but if it's told to us that it's secret, why are we expecting to find an answer to it? Right? We best just rest in it. I take it that it's time that God's just wanting us to trust Him at His word and have a practice in trusting in a God who's always good. God has discerned will, well, we contest it. We seek wisdom. We run it by other people. What do you think? Should I do this? Let's pray about it. What do you know? Is there anything in the Scriptures? Is there an example in the Scriptures? Okay. That's how we go about with discerned will. And then we step out knowing that we're seeking to do what pleases God. And we've given Him that time to pray and to look for wisdom. God's revealed will is in the Bible. And this, however, we can be sure of. And this we are expected to be actually put into practice in our lives if we seek to hallow God's name and seek His kingdom to come. We shouldn't think that we can actually go about testing what God has kept secret. We dare not test what God has revealed. And we do not come to God with what He's revealed in the Bible and say, "Well, look, let's just, you know, put it to experience. Do I really have to do that? Those Christians don't. Those don't just do. If it's plainly in the Scriptures, we do what God says. It's clear as that. Why allow ourselves to be distracted and led off the track by allowing just our own personal ideas of what we come to the Scriptures with to shape the way we think and live? We open the Bible to see what God has revealed. And then we rule out what God forbids and we rule in everything what God commands. So here's how we pray when God's revealed will and our desires pull in different directions and we don't know which way to go. We say, Lord, help me to obey. Your will be done. When we pray, your will be done, we are asking for faith in what God has kept secret, wisdom in what God calls us to discern, and obedience in what God has revealed. This is the meaning of God's will be done in the Lord's Prayer. The wonderful thing is that Jesus has actually told us how God's will be done. Your will be done on earth, what's the next little bit? As it is in heaven. Well, what's Jesus mean? Well, how is God's will done in heaven? Well, firstly, let's think about the angels, all right? I wasn't thinking whether I'd go this way, but I think, yeah, no, let's think about the angels. They live in heaven, and the scriptures remind us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word, Psalm 103, verse 20. Angels are God's heavenly servants who do his will. They live in heaven. In the Christmas story, we read that angels announce the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 1. Angels announce his resurrection from the dead. He is not here, he is risen, Matthew 28. Angels promised his glorious return. He says to the two disciples there, sitting there looking up into the sky, what are you standing there looking into heaven for? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. Get about telling people about Jesus. He didn't say that little bit, but you know, if he did, Jesus said it earlier on. The angels do God's will fully. The angels are ready to obey the command of Christ, and there is no mission on which they will not go. Jesus said, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Matthew 26. Christ only needs to speak the word and the angels do what he says. In heaven, the angels do God's will gladly. Hebrews speaks about the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, where thousands upon thousands of angels gather in joyful assembly. There is no reluctance in their service. They do what God commands gladly. The angels do God's will immediately. Hebrew tells us that God makes his angels winds. The wind moves fast. The angels do not hang about deciding, oh, will we go or won't we go? You know, will we do it or won't we do it? They go. They obey. They do. And when God speaks, their response is immediate. They fly like the wind and they do God's will. And the picture that we saw in our reading this morning that Irene read to us is a glimpse into heaven. Into the heavenly control room where God is in control. And the image we are left with without any question or doubt is that God's will has, will be, and always will be done in heaven. John is taken into the heavenly room, heavenly throne room, the heavenly control room to see, despite what's going on in the world, look what's going on in heaven. Everything is in control. Jesus is at the wheel. Everything is working out according to his good purpose. It's an old but a useful illustration for those who are into tapestry. You know, if you look at a tapestry, at the very back of it, it looks a mess, doesn't it? You know, the tapestry is all over the place. But when you turn it around, it's a perfect picture. From our side of things of the world, things look a perfect mess sometimes. But from God's perspective, it's perfectly in order. And all the imagery that's there in that reading are imageries to those first readers that they would have understood as being, wow, this place is perfect. This place, there's no hassles. This place, there's no mess-ups. No, everything is in control. So in the Lord's Prayer, we're asking of God that just as your will is done by angels in heaven, and that you, God, do too in the heavenly realms, may it also be done here on earth. We're praying that the order that's there be orderly here. That God's will be done here on earth as it is absolutely done here in heaven. And we see this in the life of our Lord Jesus and in the way in which he went about life and the way in which he prayed. Our Lord said, "I have come down from heaven," John 6, verse 38, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus loved doing his Father's will. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work," John 4. Now for Jesus, doing the will of the Father meant not only living that perfect life, which he completely did for us in complete righteousness, and in so doing he fulfilled all the requirements of God's law wonderfully, perfectly and completely for our benefit, that we may be credited with his righteousness and that God see us now as holy in his sight. It also meant something else. In order for that to happen, it meant submitting to the burden God had called him to carry, for him to do God's will. Imagine what it must have been for our Lord Jesus as he was growing into a man, reading Psalm 22 that speaks about the suffering Saviour, the suffering Christ, the suffering servant, and knowing it was him. "All who see me mock me. They have pierced my hands and feet. All my bones are out of joint." Then to read that the one who suffers all this will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To know that Jesus knew that as he read those scriptures, that they happened to be about him and that was God's will for him. The burden that the Father had given him to carry. What must it have been for Jesus, for our Lord, knowing that he was the promised suffering servant, to then go on to read Isaiah 53. "It was the will of the Lord to bruise him, that our sins would be laid on him, that he would bear the punishment that was due to us." Jesus knows as he reads these words, this is the will of the Father for him. How hard it must have been for him to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, not my will, but yours. Yours be done." As he stared into the abyss that lay before him, our Lord was given a terrible burden to carry. And there was a great battle in his spirit to say, "Your will be done." Matthew records that he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Here's what it looks like for God's will to be done on earth. It means to submit to the burden God has called us to carry, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. To go with God's will when we don't understand completely. Your will be done. None of us will ever be called to carry what the Saviour bore, for it has been done. We don't have to repeat it. But God has given to each of us burdens that we must bear that are part of God's will. God has given to each of us burdens that we can share. Things we would rather not have to face. Things we wish were not so. But we know that they are God's will. And so when we pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are asking God to give us the strength to carry these burdens. How did Jesus do the will of the Father? How did he carry the burden he was called to bear? He did it knowing the goodness and love of his heavenly Father. When he prayed, "Your will be done," on the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive them, and Father, into your hand I commit my spirit," he prayed it, "Your will be done." He knew the loving Father. Hebrews calls us to look to Jesus for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It was his love for the Father and his confident anticipation of the eternal joy that lay on the other side that enabled Jesus to say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it is our joy and our ability to say the same. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gethsemane shows us that this third petition is the hardest of all to pray, and it will change the way we think about prayer, I believe. It's changed mine. Our first thought about prayer may be that prayer is a way to get God to do our will. And that seeking God's will is about finding a way to cope with it. Our first thought about prayer, Jesus makes it very clear when he teaches us the Lord's Prayer, that is to be completely turned around the other way. The purpose of prayer is not that God should do our will, but that we should do his will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. I think young man's going to lead us in a psalm, and then we're going to sing a song. Let me pray. There she comes up. Come on. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us as we remember the verses from it. We look forward, Father, today to get a little glimpse in that Bible reading into heaven and to see that despite what's happening here, we can see a heavenly control room where everything is in control. You are at the wheel, Jesus. Life's like a mess-up tapestry as we look at it here, but it's all in order. You are a good and perfect God, and we believe that in the long run, you are always working your good for us and for your glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor, for unpacking that very important part. So God is perfect, and we ought to trust him in every circumstances. So join me in saying Psalm 139, verse 9 to 12 together. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand, Lord, will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Amen. Please stand and let us sing, hear our prayer.
You're out.
Standing, and let's say together what we believe. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Simon will lead us in prayer now.
As the Lord teaches to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you show your almighty power in your mercy and forgiveness. Continue to fill us with your gifts of love. Help us to hurry towards the eternal life you promised and to come to share in the joys of your kingdom. Amen. Sorry. Grant that this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. we continue in prayer. A prayer for Anglicare Ministry. Lord Jesus, we praise your servant King, who willingly gave up his life that we might live. We pray at this time for those who offer up their lives in the service of others. Particularly, we remember those working as Anglicare chaplains and pastoral carers, especially hospital chaplains. Protect them daily in their tasks and fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit as they minister the spiritual and emotional needs of those they meet, and assist them and their loved ones to negotiate the needs in times of illness, grief, loss, and hardships that occur in life. We offer our prayers for David Antonese as he enjoys his much-needed holiday with his wife, Michelle, and for our rector, Trevor, as he fills in for David at Concord Hospital. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Bush Church Aid. Father, we pray for the work of Bush Church Aid and for the Pharisees in Kununurra, Western Australia. In a community that is transient, we pray you will strengthen them, help them not to be discouraged, but rejoice that these people have had an opportunity to hear your word and grow in their knowledge of Jesus. Continue to provide them with all their needs as they serve you. Amen. For all those in authority, Almighty God, we pray for the nations of this earth and for our country, Australia, and our government leaders. We pray for the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, Leader of the Opposition, Peter Dutton, the Premier of New South Wales, Chris Minns, to all members of Parliament, and to all who hold office in this land. Grant that their decisions may be based on wise counsel, so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us, and help us make a blessing to all people. Almighty God, we pray for our Anglican Church in Australia, a prayer for Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our Regional Bishop, and Trevor, our Rector. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. We also pray for this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to leave each day as ambassadors for your Son, Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the First Nations people. Father of all, from one man you made all nations of the world and determined where each should live. We bring before you the First Nations people of Australia. Thank you for the steps that have been taken on the journey towards reconciliation. Deepen this process among us. Guide national and community leaders to speak the truth in love, to seek justice and mercy, and to care for those who are disadvantaged. Strengthen First Nations church leaders to shepherd your flock faithfully. Strengthen all Christians to be salt and light in their communities and in the whole nation. Give all believers grace to demonstrate the family you are making in Christ. Out of people from every nation, tribe, and language. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the poor, needy, sick, and vulnerable. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those who are sick and for those who minister to them. Grant them the strength and perseverance in their weakness. In your mercy, quickly restore them to health of body and mind according to your will, that they may give thanks to you in the presence of your people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take a moment to pray silently for those you know personally who are suffering. A prayer for those who serve our communities. God of all creation, We pray for all who work in agriculture and farming, in all industry and commerce, in media and education, in health and social services, sports and the arts, in emergency services and the defence forces. Enable them to fulfil their responsibilities with integrity and in faithful service to our community, living and working in harmony and safety, using the fruits of their toil for the good of all, and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Finally, a prayer for practical love for one another. Throughout this week, help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth and honour you in all we do. Lord, you have taught us that all our works without love are meaningless. Send your Holy Spirit, pour it into our hearts, so that all we do this week, we do in your name, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So the announcement time, I believe, Trevor, you have something to bring us.
As you go out today, you'll find there's a little table up the back in the foyer. I'll be standing there. They're little gifts that we can give for Father's Day. Remember, Mike Swanson came in about math, the Mission Aviation Fellowship, and some little gifts that we can, like cards that we can put towards. There's information about that. You don't have to buy them today, but you just can have a look at the table and have a look what's there and be familiar with it. And then next week, if you want to buy a Father's Day card, knowing that that money will go towards providing fuel for aviation, for people to be able to receive the care that comes from pilots flying people around Australia and also missionaries and carers and health people as well. That's available at the back. And talking about BCA, the new BCA prayer notes and news is out on the mission table. So you can take one. There's plenty there, so you can take one of those. And the prayers of how to pray for the Pharisee family are on that mission table as well. As you leave too, it really is helpful to take each month a copy of the Southern Cross. What's a good thing about taking that and reading that and having it around is that it does keep you up to speed with what's going on in the rest of the Anglican Church in Sydney and Australia and possibly the world as well. It broadens our perspective of knowing what God's doing through the Anglican Church than just merely in Sydney as well. So please take those when you do see them at the end of, at the front door. And also being mindful of the suffering of Christians around the world is the voice of the martyrs of what we get, and that's on our mission table as well. Again, it's a good read to guide us in the way in which we pray. Thanks.
Thanks, Trevor. Thank you, Trevor. Well, now, this wonderful high tea women's event that's happening on the 23rd of September, 2:30, with a guest speaker this time is Naomi Reed, and she's a gifted Christian writer and communicator who loves to use honest and everyday stories to remind us that even in the hardest moments, God is with us and he has not forgotten us. So I'm really looking forward to it. Some of you might have read her books anyway, and so very delighted. And please RSVP to Rosemary. And some brochures she's flagging there. Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. Thank you. So next Sunday is Holy Communion. Letting you know that's what's happening next Sunday. And if you'd like prayer after the service, Fiona and Jeff would be happy to pray for you. Please come to the front of the church, and we could use this service a lot more than what we do at the moment, I believe. So thank you for supporting financially Abbotsford Anglican Church, and it's a very important part of what we do. Without that, we couldn't continue the work that we do. So thank you for that. After church, there's morning tea at the back. So okay, so before we go out for morning tea, let's sing the last song, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your spirit to honor you in every thought, words, and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So please join the morning tea at the back, and thank you for attending today.